This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to The Winans, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see cat dogs!
I wanted to yuck everybody, and I didn't!
Hey.
I'm just killing.
Disgusting.
Okay, bitch,
watch
this.
I
love Bazinga.
Jesus Christ.
Bazinga. Losers, in other words.
Oh, why don't you want to get in the bathtub?
Bazinga. It's Sicario.
You got me straight tripping,
buddy. Very familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept.
We ride together.
We die together.
Bad marriage for life.
That's terrible.
Woo! Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
Bad podcast for life, baby.
Bad podcast for life. Fist bump, Kevin.
Hey, fist bump.
Boom.
Oh, yay. We're here to have good Christian fun. That was, of course, covenant marriage model Will and Jada Pinkett Smith from Magic Mike XXL. And
at the Red Table.
He used to be a rapper. At the Red Table, just talking about it. Talking about...
You need to watch that tonight.
It is... it's gorgeous. So for
you watched the whole thing already?
I watched the 10-minute bit with them. Yes.
Great.
And it's like this, it's this great mixture of performative authenticity and candor. And then like 1%, not even 1%, like 0.01% are just absolute delusion and insanity, like all mixed in together.
Amazing.
So it's great. Everyone check it out. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, and entertainment made for and made by Christians, and it's always entertaining. It's never a chore to listen to or watch or get through. We don't have trauma associated with it that we have to untangle.
Much I find like that Jada's I agree with everything.
Yeah, Caroline's going to be like, yes, 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 check
yes,
box,
yes,
check
correct.
Box. Mm-hmm.
Perfectly aligns with my views, thank you.
But we're not here to make fun of you or make you go to church.
No.
We're just here to have fun.
But please don't go to church right now because it's a safety issue.
Don't go. You got Zoom
so
church. You got
problem.
Streaming church. You got to figure out your own alternative. You know,
yeah.
For some people, maybe listening to this podcast is like church, you know?
Oh, I hope not. Kevin, are you still going to Zoom church here and there?
Yeah, I am. I'm still streaming and the church.
How is it now? Now that you're, it's habitual, you understand what's going to happen.
It's gotten to the point where it's like, it's like, well, month four of this, it's like, this is normal now. This is not, it would be strange to experience it in any other way. I'm not like, oh man, this isn't quite what I want. It's like, this is what it is. It's not a lesser version. It's just the only version. So I think I've managed my expectations.
You've had the experience that every like Diet Coke drinker has when they make the big switch.
Yeah.
At first it's like, ah.
Or every spouse, I guess.
Oh my God.
What? On the subject of bad marriage for life.
Bad marriage for life. Oh boy.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Hey, life is an expectations game, right? Expect the best, but prepare for the worst. And there's a way to do that. Hope for the best, actually, is what a friend of mine used to say.
Yeah. So, expect the worst.
Mm-hmm. Expect and prepare for the worst, I guess, though. But you know who's not the worst? The freaking Winans, dude.
No
way. Winans. A quartet of four large adult sons.
Yes.
From the first family of gospel. We're going to talk about them, but first. But first.
I want to see Cat Dog. First,
ladies and gentlemen, Cat Dog.
Kevin needs a little Cat Dog break.
It's like, it's Alec Baldwin in Star is Born. Ladies and gentlemen, Cat Dog. Okay, friends and folks, she is a writer, an actor, a comedian. You may know her from the Two Girls, One Pup podcast. Great title. Give it the hell up for Monique Madrid.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Is this energy good for you right now?
This is, I am immediately in seventh grade right now. I am dedicating my life back right this moment from hearing that.
We have a recommitment ceremony on the podcast, friends. Wow, here we go.
I'm very backslidden, so.
That's like, surely people have done that. Recommitment ceremonies for husbands and wives and married couples happen all the time, but surely someone in the world has had a recommitment ceremony for their faith, right?
Oh, I think I did that numerous times growing up.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I was constantly like, I have to rededicate myself. Yeah, yeah. Because you're constantly sinning, so you have to, you know, come back from
the course. It also felt like a way to always get in on the altar call, even if you had been a Christian since birth, basically.
Yep, yep.
But like, if you've already committed yourself to Christ, but you know you've fallen far from him, and you know that you're ready to come back around and make him your number one, da da da. And I was like, okay, I fit at least one of those categories,
yeah.
So
yeah,
might as well.
Well, and there's an element to that where it's just, do you believe you're the utmost of sinners? Or are you just a good participant? Are you a good student in a classroom who knows what the teacher's looking for and what this needs? Like a little possession.
Good. Maybe you're taking an improv class and you're yes-anding, you know? And you're.
That's absolutely true.
It's good in everyday uses.
Did you guys ever have an altar call where you felt like, actually no one came down and then you felt a little bad for the person that did the altar call?
I probably would have been the person to go up just so that person didn't
just
feel
so they didn't feel alone.
No, with that, when that would happen, I would think to myself, everyone in here is on the right path. We don't need any recommitments. Everyone's doing
a great
job.
Oh, you had no suspicion.
No. I was a very trusting young man. Who would grow up to be a very dumb
extremely
adult man.
Trusting,
yes.
Young man.
Maybe too trusting, some might say.
Naive.
Monique, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. What a fun time to have you on.
I mean, it's something different than I've done every single day for the last 3 months.
And yes. In that in and of itself,
that alone,
isn't that valuable? And does that make it all
exactly.
Worth it?
Like, is this fun or is it just variety? You know, we
right,
don't know.
Right. I mean, I will say it felt like variety when I was getting ready, just like, you know, going from doing nothing all the time to like, oh, I have something to do. And then the minute I got on with you guys and just started saying hi, I was like, oh, yeah, human beings. This is really fun. I had to log off for a while because I was having computer problems. But even in that, I was like, oh, man, I'm having a great time.
I can't wait to get back to my best friends.
My new friends. Exactly.
Now, do you have, if I may ask, you're a married person.
You're
a person of marriage, as is politically correct to say. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a specific sort of quarantine sort of philosophy as far as seeing anybody outside of your spouse right now?
Oh, yeah. No, we are being very strict about social distancing. It's probably a mixture of like my anxiety, but also just feeling a civic duty, and every person I see not, it really eats me alive. My even just like going on walks outside, because I have to walk the dog, or I go on hikes, and I have to decide if it's worth being angry during my walk by passing so many people. And sometimes it's literally not. Sometimes I'm like, nope, I'm sitting on my porch today, or my balcony. So
yeah,
we're real strict about it. It's not worth it to me.
Well, I like how you frame it as civic duty as well, because it does transform time at home, where I hit season 2, episode 6 of Sopranos. I'm like, I love you, America. This is why I do it. For the stars and stripes.
For the troops, for the doctors.
we're doing it for America.
But truly,
I will say we spent, we lived in Chicago before moving to LA, and we lived on cruise ships and performed with the Second City, and the contracts were 4.5 months at a time. So this is way better than being stuck on a cruise ship for 4.5 months. So it doesn't feel that bad. And we have internet, which you don't have in the middle of the ocean. Not to mention how disgusting and terrible cruise ships are. But
yeah,
it sucks, but it's not the end of the world.
Aren't you surprised there hasn't been a horror movie set on a cruise ship in which like an improv troupe kills each other one by one? There's like a hostile situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very Downton Abbey world too on the cruise ship. So there's so many levels that you could do with that. And then add that on top of that, that's a great idea. Oh yeah.
Should be a sitcom. Hey. So the quarters you lived in were like rough, would you say, on the cruise ship?
Well, we didn't work for the cruise ship. Our contract was with Second City, so we had entertainer status, or guest entertainer status. So we had the officers' cabins, which were like the nicer ones.
Ooh,
They still weren't. It's not like a balcony. It's a room, but it was better than.
Did you have a window?
I mean, seriously. In one of them, in the Alaska one, we had a porthole, and one time a fish got stuck inside the porthole during rocky seas.
No way!
It was great. It was great.
He was just looking for his son, and he got stuck in a porthole.
Not so great as feeling glaciers scrape underneath the ocean right below you, underneath the boat right below you. It's a trippy world, and
usually
I will
that
never
turns
go back.
Out okay.
Historically, yes.
It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to like figure out how much I would need to negotiate to be fine being on a cruise ship for a while. Because for me right now, I'm like, yeah, I think I could do that. I think I would have fun.
Oh, I mean, during COVID? Now?
Right
no,
now?
No. Just no. Not right
you
now.
You would
right
die.
Now. Just
like in general, you immediately have COVID.
Like if I'm going to be in a various POW situation, like a cruise ship versus my apartment, you know, what's the perks? What are the pros? Did you get to have fun drinks? Could you use the pool?
I mean, yeah, we had a blast because we didn't have like the people who work there regularly with the that work for the cruise lines who don't follow American laws because they flagship outside of America. That's why they should be getting tax breaks on it. But whatever, we're not talking about that. Bailouts, blah, blah, blah. They treat it so that they don't have to follow labor laws. So they work 16-hour, maybe not 16-hour days, but, you know, probably they don't leave for 60 days. There's 4 people to a cabin in their tiny cabins. It is terrible.
Gracious.
They can't leave half the time because they're working, whereas we basically were like guests where we could go anywhere and do anything and we didn't have to. Yeah, and they kind of wanted us to mingle because they treat you like a rock star. They just saw you on stage and they make jokes with you. And so like my husband and I wouldn't wear our wedding rings those nights. You cannot fraternize with the passengers, but you can allow them to buy you a drink.
Okay.
With no problem doing that.
Let them have a chance here and there. You know, it's a cruise. Yeah,
now, we know what that's like to just have unmitigated adoration for the comedy acts on a cruise. Caroline and I did take a cruise, I want to say 5 years ago at this point. It'll be 5 years ago.
It was foundational.
In
it
December.
It was so important.
Milk, no cookies. That's a very important step in our relationship. Monique, the clean comedy show on this cruise that we went to which part of Mexico, Caroline?
Encinitas. Wait, no, that's in San Diego.
That's
Ensenada.
Ensenada.
There was
a bunch of acts, and the headline title was Milk No Cookies, which we thought they would say during the show.
I thought they never said it, like the catchphrase. No, there wasn't even a joke about cookies at all.
But there were a lot of not jokes about respecting and loving the troops.
Oh my God. I mean, we certainly were not doing highbrow political satire by any means. It was the very, yeah, it was plain to middle America, where for a lot of people, that's the only trip they've ever gone on. And so it is a big deal. But
you gotta make sure
I was
time.
Sick. I was sick constantly. I don't get sick very often, but I had some kind of chest cold or lost my voice.
Oh, man.
For 16 weeks in a row, I was always sick. You could not pay me to go on a cruise now.
That stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, 2023, get ready for you. Caroline Ely getting back on the cruise liners.
I'm taking a 6-monther.
Yeah.
Unless there's like a vaccine room. Like that's one of the you know, things that you can do on the
vaccine
itinerary.
Dispensable. Go get your vaccine.
What if that is the solution? It. Is like, okay, we have the vaccine. Here's the catch. It's on a Carnival cruise and you have to take it. And you have to, to stimulate the
economy.
You
get to go to their private island.
I'd be packing my bags. Okay,
bring it on. Well, Monique, we would love to hear about your history with faith and religion and where you are with it now. But how did you grow up with religion?
Yeah. So I was born in Colorado, but my parents moved to Missouri when I was a year and a half, 2 years old, to go to a Bible school. We just were always in the church. I went to evangelical fundamentalist, praying in hands, dancing down the aisles, Jesus camp church. They were usually started by, you know, somebody who would, you know, maybe leave a bigger church. You've probably heard of Vineyard and some of those bigger mega churches.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't part of those. It would be some rogue pastor that left and started his own. So they were much, much smaller, a lot of times in house churches.
We love a rogue pastor, by the way. We love
off brand.
This maverick was such a biblical renegade that his take on the word was so visionary, the establishment couldn't handle it.
Join us at Vineyard's Church.
Yes.
Wait
a second.
I remember having church in like a strip mall by a donut shop. Only maybe once was it in an actual church. But because of that, I only went to Christian schools, except I was homeschooled in fourth grade. And I went to the local junior high in eighth grade, but that's it. And I homeschooled myself in senior high. That's a whole other thing too.
Really?
Senior year or all of high school?
Well, so every school that I went to was a Christian school, but it was, again, affiliated with some church. Again, some of them were bigger. So I went to one that was run by a Vineyard, just the school itself was. The school I graduated from, and because my school was also part of my church, it just felt like everything was church. You know, that's literally all I knew. My school was started by, turned out my best friend, her parents, and our church, and was a 5-room little Christian school where kindergarten through 12th, the most we ever had was maybe 45 people. I graduated valedictorian. There were 5 of us, so we kind of all did.
So, it was a 5-way tie.
You beat the odds. You know, we all got to say a speech, so I could technically say that.
I never realized how deflating of a victory that is to be valedictorian. If the pool is that small, it's just like, I beat my 4 friends. This actually feels bad now.
But they even got to give a speech too, so really,
oh, great.
It's good.
Yeah, who cares? It's,
I love that.
All inclusive.
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, so part of our school curriculum was Bible or worship class, or we learned like where the cuss words came from and why that's bad to use and how it's silly to use those words because it makes no sense. I wrote a whole pilot about this. So
remember any of the word origins you heard?
Gosh.
Why it's silly? It's silly to use swear words?
Like, I feel like the word fuck was like fornication under something, something. So
Christ
it was like,
kingdom.
Really,
yes.
When you think about it, it doesn't make sense. Like, they were trying to make lessen its power, I guess.
That's so funny. You're a clown if you say fuck.
It's silly. So,
like, appealing to a sense of dignity, as if a child's like, I care about respect more than anything.
Right, right, right. And we would, I mean, one of the schools I went to, I remember missing an entire day of school because in the middle of the, I think we started with a worship ceremony before going off to class. And in the middle of that, a bunch of kids got filled with the Holy Spirit, couldn't stop giggling. And because the teachers just were like, the Holy Spirit is in them, we just got to like lay around and laugh, giggling. And they just kind of canceled school for the afternoon.
Oh, my God.
Holy laughter. Is that what it was classified?
Yeah, as? Yeah, yeah. It kind of goes along with praying in tongues. And
yeah, you know, I saw a little bit of that in the Assembly of God church I went to growing up. And yeah. I remember specifically my family going to one of their services, and afterwards my brother just like even killed me, like, why do they have to make it weird like that? Like, it was a good service. And it's like, yeah, I see that.
Yeah. They made it weird.
Yeah.
Kevin was homeschooled, and I went to a Christian school too, so I know a little. My school was like slightly more legitimate, but not that much more probably. Like, right. We learned about evolution, but we also learned how it was stupid and wrong and not logical.
It's a theory.
And also,
it's a theory.
It's just a theory at the end of the day. Yeah.
I think once I was told that God made the evolution happen, so that was a way of sort of explaining it away. Like, but yes, but God created that
sounds
evolution.
Sounds like you went to a pretty liberal school, honestly.
That was not bad, right?
Yeah, that's woke for that time, probably.
That is woke. You're right. But I homeschooled myself the last year because when I finally went to the high school, the 5-room school, the summer between junior high and senior, a group of us got drunk at our youth group leader's house. She basically was like, hey, I know that you guys are drinking, so I want to see what you're really like. I'll let you do it in my house. It was wine coolers. But I know.
God. Why? That's not even the worst of the move.
And that youth pastor's name was Mary Kay Letourneau. May she rest
right.
in peace.
Oh, rest in peace. So we got drunk, and then somebody found out and told on us. And so we got suspended for the entire we got suspended for one semester, even though it was summer.
Goodness gracious.
But the catch was, my best friend who was with me, her parents were the ones that ran the school, and they went, well, we were going to let her go to public school, so her punishment now is that she has to come to this school. And then the other friend, you know, there's always like the three frenemies that you're fighting over. The other one, they went, well, she's not very disciplined, and we just don't think she'll actually complete her work if she doesn't, so we're going to let her stay. So I was the only one who got suspended for drinking, even though all of us participated.
Because you were, like, good at school, relatively.
So I go to meet with them. My parents were basically like, fine, but we're not going to – I can't believe I didn't get in more trouble, but they basically said, we're not going to pay for your final semester. So I went and talked to the teachers and found out I had half a credit left to graduate, which they could have just told me the year before, but they didn't. It was one Bible or some kind of like senior seminar where you learn how to be an adult. Uh-huh. And by then I had already moved out of my parents' house and was working at Denny's at night. And I said, can I just do this on my own and I'll pay for it? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. And I was going to go through the workbook, but I've always been a writer, so I was like, can I just write an essay instead? I promise it'll be good. I'll make it nice and long. Like, and they were like, okay. So
amazing.
I graduated.
Like, done.
Yeah, I think I graduated by the same means. It sounds like, where it's like, oh my goodness. I think I graduated. My mom said I did. She co-signed it. Wait,
Monique, was the wine worth it?
I mean, I had a great time. I'll say yes.
It sounds like it was.
Never touch the stuff again.
You know what? I got no regrets.
Good on you for sticking to your guns.
What a funny punishment, too, to be like the ones that like are drinking with their youth group. They're like, we're not going to make you go to school anymore. And you're like, shoot.
And it wasn't until years later that those parents were like, why can't you be more like Monique? But for a while, they thought I was the bad influence. And I really wasn't. I was just the loud one. Like, they could just, you know.
The loudest.
I was just pinned on you.
I was the smart ass of the group. So I seemed worse than I was. But even like math class, my maybe it was sophomore year. I go in for my first day of math. I've always gotten straight A's except for math. I just am not good at it. And it was the first day, and we were, maybe it was trigonometry, and we were reviewing what we had done the year before. Like, this is just a catch up. And I was so upset by it. I go to the principal's office then after class, and I'm crying. And I was like, I am not doing this. I'm not spending another year crying every day over math. I refuse to. And he went, okay. So I just didn't have to finish math, which at the time was great, but what the hell? I'm an idiot now.
This history, yeah. Now you do your taxes and you owe more than you made.
You know what's so funny is like your story is like Betsy DeVos's dream for American 100%. Education.
Yes.
See, it doesn't work.
Students can just be like, I don't want to. And you'd be like, all right.
Checkmate.
Freedom.
I'm out.
Checkmate. You got it.
Called the bluff.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I took a big stand and it worked. So
wow.
I always get my way, apparently. Jeez.
That's amazing. That's so funny. Well, what was the like spiritual aspect like of going to that school? Were you really bought in, or was it like tricky in some ways?
I was really bought in until probably 15, maybe 16. I was, I taught Bible school to like the younger kids. Oh. I went to Bible camp. I was always like, again, if you're a performer, you kind of are that in any setting that you're in. So I've always had a very busy mind, like a busy brain. And so I would dream a lot and I would tell them. And then next thing you know, I'm standing in front of church telling people about my dreams. They Wow. thought I was going to be, they thought I was going to grow up to be, wait for it, a prophet.
I was going to, yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
Or a priest or a king, but you prophet, know. Yes.
I would go to the revival yeah. things, and I babysat everybody's kids, including the prophet's kids, who later I found out like beat his wife. And I mean, there's so many hypocrisies that happened when I look back that I'm 1,000% not in anymore. I can't, unless it's a wedding, I have no desire to go to church. And friends that are like, no, but it's Unitarian, we accept everyone. I'm like, no, thanks. Nope.
Yeah.
Feels too churchy.
Even nope. Unitarian okay. stuff.
Oh, no thanks. I'm Ooh. Yeah. I went once because there was a comedy show there and I was like, yes. Fine, I'll go with you to be a good friend. But yeah.
So when you got the DM for this, you're like,
I had to do a little research, had to double check, and yeah. Yeah. But so then around 15, 16, my first year at that school, the one that my friend's parents ran, is when I got my first boyfriend. And that was nonstop drama basically till I was 21 years old, of us being Whoa. Very Romeo and Juliet and sneaking around and getting ground. I got grounded from him for life. I wasn't allowed to think about him anymore after we got caught making out. Like,
wow.
Very pretty normal things for kids, for teens. Like, I never snuck out of the house. I didn't do drugs. I got good grades. I drank, but it was Independence, Missouri. I could have been doing meth. I mm-hmm. was doing fine.
Yeah, what else was there? I mean,
yeah.
Meth or, I don't know, bowling, perhaps?
Was your boyfriend on the same page spiritually? Was your boyfriend Christian guy?
No, not really. Okay. Not. I mean, technically, yes, but no, not really. Like, I'm not going to badmouth him, but let's just, in the game of life, I won. I'm doing fine.
Okay. And see, here we see the problem is when we have these relationships where it's not a three-strand necklace where one strand is you, one strand is your partner, and the other strand is the Holy Spirit binding
Netflix.
Them together. That did Caroline said Netflix? When it's not freaking dating around. Ozark. Then
we
it falls
definitely,
apart.
We were definitely not equally yoked. But and also, let's be honest, had it not been such a scandal, because of course when we got in trouble, the entire church found out about it, the entire school found out about it, like,
oh,
it
gosh.
Was and it wasn't, again, that big of a deal.
No, it wasn't
getting
like
caught making
outrageous
out.
Acts,
right?
Like kissing.
Yeah I mean, of course, if we were together longer, more stuff happened, but they
and
were
did that
so
like drive you together too, just being like, oh, absolutely, we didn't do anything wrong even, and like they're all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sneaking and meeting each other at the, I mean, it's always better to make out in secret. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's hot. I miss when kissing was a scandal, you know?
I know.
I don't like this one-upmanship we all have to do with ourselves of like how how kinky can I get? Maybe I just feel that pressure. Do you guys not?
maybe just plain kissing is your kink. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
A plain kiss.
Yep. Well, so that community was so worried about us all having sex, like anybody, like just sex was, I got no sex education whatsoever. And every single person that I went to high school with, myself included, got pregnant in high school or right after high school.
Whoa.
Because what do you expect?
What a track record for that school.
Yeah. I literally.
To be fair, it was only five people that got pregnant.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Still.
But that makes 10 when you.
That's true.
You know, takes
true.
Two. So, yeah. Well, 8, because, you know, you're swapping around a little bit. Mm-hmm. But.
There's some double dipping.
That's right, of course. They're still all kind of in. Anyways. I'll occasionally be like, oh, how are you, what, now those two are dating? Like, it's kind of hasn't really changed
a
lot of ways for some of them.
Start a new group text, Monique. Get them all back in your life again. Daily check-in. Send memes.
You know, this 2020 seems like the year that I should see what their opinions are right now. That's a great idea.
Yeah, sure, what would the consequences be?
That'd be kind of cool and probably interesting.
Yeah, but my sex ed, first time I got any kind of info was a Planned Parenthood pamphlet. Literally after coming home from having a miscarriage.
Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Which I'm not
brutal.
At all sad about. People are like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not. Oh my God. Thank God I had, or thank, you know, whoever I had it. But I try to talk about it a lot and have written about it and am getting bolder in writing about it because it's still not the easiest thing to put out. But because it's so dangerous and so painful to watch people back home or in other small, you know, Betsy DeVos. That is what's going to continue to happen, and that I lived it, and I don't want my nieces and nephews to ever go through that. And so I'm no longer in any of that. I'm kind of pretty outspoken about it specifically because of that. So
it's such a big one. I think I skipped the one day of sex ed that we had at my health class. And so, yeah, everything I learned was like from TV or like a slightly worse person I knew at my school.
You know? Slightly worse
just
person.
Like,
whoa.
More like daring person, you know. But yeah. Even then, I was so like freaked out by it. I didn't want to know very much, and I was very interested in like preserving my innocence. And so there was just so much that was like confusing. And I'm sure there are probably more people than I know at my high school that like also had unprotected sex for whatever reason and ended up in that same situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought to use protection, which is another thing. I could have, you know, it's not like I stayed a virgin, so I could have gotten a disease. I could have, so many things could have happened. And it's like, I wouldn't have even considered using protection because that would be admitting I was going to have sex.
Yeah,
the first probably 2 years of having sex were always an accident. Oh, we messed up again. Oh, we blah 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 blah. You know,
we slipped up. And then stumble brag. That's what we used to call it.
Stumble brag.
That's a Nathan Ely. That's Caroline's husband original term. Yeah.
That's I'm gonna use that
we
now.
Messed
that's so
up.
Great.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Was
that's
it,
why
was
I had
weird?
To always, I had to go back and repent. That's why I had to rededicate my life so often.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was always living a life of feeling guilty over something, you know?
Yeah, which is interesting too, because I feel like that's such a Protestant mindset. For those of us that grew up Protestant, it did feel like something you need to cleanse yourself of specifically sexually, but it didn't feel like that with other different kinds of sin. Like if you were mean to someone or if you lied about something, you weren't like,
right,
oh God, I got to repent of this. But there was something, I'm sure there's just like a general culture, like divorce from faith or God stuff, shame involved with sex that made it so like that sort of cycle of confession, repentance that most people would associate with like, no, I actually need to absolve myself of this and like go see a priest in confession. They would associate with like Catholicism more so than Protestantism. But that's the like Venn diagram overlap that I feel like Protestants have is like, yeah, if it's sexual, we need to rid ourselves just so, I don't know, so I can feel better about it or I can feel this.
And because you have a relationship directly with Jesus and God, you almost have a responsibility to kind of be on your game even more often. Like, I would ask for forgiveness at home all the time or before I would go to bed, not to mention at church when somebody made me feel guilty. And the more I've sort of done my own inner work now and written about it and tried to, like, make comedy out of it, I really do think a lot of it lies in, like, sexism and the patriarchy and all that bullshit and just controlling women, because I see the way that the men were treated versus the women and the things that they got away with. And the way my mom was treated is pretty crappy, that I'm like, oh, of course she was so tough on me. She had this immense pressure on her as a kind of outspoken, different type of woman. And but the men always find a way to control it because that's what they've been doing for, you know, years and years.
Yeah. And I at least my experience too is, like, for men with, like, sexual sin or whatever, I think it really, really embarrassed them as well. And, like, that embarrassment could get projected really easily on women, you know, of like, well, she made me slip up, or like, you were slutty, so that's why. Right. And I'm, like, so embarrassed that I'm weak in this way. And I just feel like a lot of, like, men suffered also in, like,
oh,
the
yeah.
extra guilt or whatever that they got to. Not that they didn't benefit from patriarchy, but it also, like, they also got a really heavy stone around their neck a lot of the time, too, with masturbation and with lust and all that other stuff that men were supposed to avoid.
Yeah, they don't have a – they're not just given a chance to – so I ended up marrying a guy who's Jewish, and so I didn't know much about that faith at all. But – and he's not practicing necessarily, but I have noticed – the difference being, he was always encouraged to ask questions and encouraged to dig deeper. And I really don't feel like I was encouraged to that. It was just like, you obey because you obey. You mm-hmm. you believe in Jesus because he says to. And I'd be like, wait, but what about people who live in Africa who could never hear about Jesus? Nope, the Lord says he'll find a way. Well, how do you know? Because I believe. But why do you believe? Because the Lord tells me to. And it's just this, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And I remember being very frustrated with that cycle. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's connected to it, too. They're not even allowed to think about other opportunities or avenues or possibilities. Yeah. So that's a disservice to men and women. Yeah.
A choice in the first place of, like, well, at some point, I just choose to believe, you know, so that's really it.
Right.
Like,
right.
Just and saying that would be like, oh, okay, well, it's a choice, you know.
Yeah, totally. And I have friends now who are you know, there's kind of my old church life that I definitely am like, no, thanks. I don't, you know, I'm not going to Facebook friend you type of thing. I need to get off Facebook anyways, but whatever. Or
it's time.
Or there's the friends of mine who happen to be Christian. And that is different than my old church friends. Those are ones who it's like, great. It's faith that is working for you and doing what you need it to do. And you're not pushing it on me. You're not judging me. It's your own thing. That's great. If that's what you want, I don't believe that. But again, that's my choice. So that's kind of how I have evolved, I guess.
Was there an inflection point when you were like around 20 or so when you said you lost your faith, right? Or walked away from it, rather?
I would say I probably sang and played saxophone on the worship team. Thank you very much. Probably till I was at least 20, on and off. It was less and less as I, you know, moved out of my parents' house and stuff. And then around 21, I started taking these improv classes. I was on a Christian improv group when I was 16. We weren't officially Christian, but it was like
in Missouri
comedy, and we
what was it called? What was the name of it? Yeah.
What was it called? Salty light,
something like that.
Salty.
Oh, Salt. My dad played Salty in the church play.
Oh, gosh.
Also, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's like a puppeteer and makes really one of his, he's just a craftsman.
Tell me more.
He always made our costumes. It was a full body Salty costume.
Holy smokes. That thing is
that
huge.
He made out of foam. And yeah, it was gigantic.
Now,
it was gigantic.
And that does unfortunately include some, you know, it was a different time, but because he was playing Salty, it was full blue face. And he since offer up a notes app apology screenshot of appropriating Salty songbook culture.
There's no excuse, but at the time it was
there's
different.
No excuse, but at the time it was different. Yeah. And we can acknowledge that.
You know, he's learning, he's growing from it. He's
learning, he's listening, he's growing. LLG.
Exactly. Wait, you had a question.
Oh, asked just
me a
generally,
question.
Like when it might have, oh. Like.
Honestly, it. I never officially disavowed it until, gosh, probably, right before I got married. I got married at 24. When I met my husband, I had just turned 22 when we started dating, and he's a little bit older than me, and so he was like, I don't know if this is going to work for that reason. And I tried to break up with him because I was like, look, even though I don't go to church, I'm a Christian, you're a Jew, this could never work, and I'm falling for you. And
some
I don't
more Romeo again, and Juliet shit, huh?
I just realized that, oh my God, that's a revelation. And so he was the one that was like, all right, kid, let's just meet me for dinner. Let's have a discussion about this before you make some rash decision. We're not reinventing the wheel. Let's just talk about it. And that night, we'd only been dating for like a month. We went to Barnes & Noble, if you remember those.
Oh, yes.
And got books that were like interfaith marriage for dummies. And like, that's how much he liked me.
This
that he was
very
really
sweet.
So sad.
Yeah, I like this part.
Isn't that
oh.
sweet? He's a very good guy. So we had these like really awkward conversations that always started with, now not presuming anything, but let's say this moved on and someday we had kids, and we just had to sort of talk it out and lay down some boundaries. And the first boundary is we would never try to convert each other. That was like rule number one of our relationship. Cool. There was no pressure to do that. But again, I wasn't exactly believing, but I still was like, but of course, I mean, I do believe in Jesus. And it might not have even been till I moved to Chicago and was just around different kinds of people and had met atheists that weren't devil worshipers, you know, like met people that talked to me about science. And I had no idea my life was weird, not weird, but unusual the way I grew up, until we'd be in the middle of dinner and I'd be like, yeah, we had to skip school because we were praying in tongues. And everyone would be like, wait, what? What are you talking about? So I started learning, oh, this is not normal.
Right.
And I'd fight with anytime my husband would say like, God damn it, or Jesus Christ, like cussing, it would always turn into a fight.
You'd say, you know,
so
you sound very unprofessional and like a little clown now, right? You sound silly
you know where
to
that
me.
You're ridiculous. And then I don't know, it just eventually kind of got to a point where I was like, oh, yeah, that's really stupid. What am I doing? Not stupid, but kind of like, what am I doing?
Not relevant or not vital to your life or happiness for sure.
Yeah, definitely not my happiness. I am 1,000% more happy and feel stronger and assertive and know that I will be okay trusting on my own self. And knowing, I mean, look, I homeschooled my own self when I was in 12th grade. So
yes.
Clearly,
yeah,
I can
some
do
Jedi
anything.
Shit.
Figured it. Yeah, wait, that's amazing.
Was that Bob Jones? Was that Bob Jones
yes,
University?
That if it wasn't Bob Jones, one of my years, certainly, I definitely did Bob Jones University.
Oh, okay.
But now they're called like BJJs or something. I think they had some kind of,
oh no,
probably
silly.
A tax issue or some kind of like,
accreditation problem.
I'm sure. Right.
When yeah. you and your now husband got together, did you still have, or at any point have, like the belief that was like, oh, you're supposed to lead me spiritually, or you're supposed to be like the stronger, you know, whatever?
No, I think I did luck out in that my parents, my mom was probably more the alpha anyways, so I had a good example of, yeah. of a strong woman, and definitely felt like, it's so funny because years later when I really kind of had my feminist awakening and officially called myself a feminist, I remember my dad once saying to my sister and I like, oh, you feminists. And I got mad at him and I was like, Dad, you're the one who has always taught me I can be anything I want and not to chase boys and that don't. He was the one that was like, never chase a guy. What are you doing? He should come after, you know, not in a, it's the woman's place to be chased, but
yeah.
saying like, don't devalue
like, don't
yourself.
Your
yeah.
yeah.
If he doesn't want you, what are you wasting your time for? So
this is a very King David story in which you're saying, so father, it is you that is the feminist. It is you that doesn't believe in traditional gender roles.
Yeah, so I just think I always kind of equality, that wasn't so much the issue. It had to be things of like, well, how would we tell our children that their dad's going to hell? You know?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
The most pertinent question for raising a child.
I mean, that comes up all the time for children. So, sure.
Yeah.
So when daddy dies, is it purgatory or is it more like, will it be like?
Is there like a Jewish heaven and like which one? Do I get to go to both?
Can I choose? It's like dual citizenship. You have passports
exactly,
to either
yes.
one.
I love
exactly.
that.
Either.
And so when we had our wedding, we made sure we did not have a religious ceremony. But we didn't want it to completely be void of any Bible at all, which now if I were to redo it, I would not have any kind of religion in it at all. But at the time we were like, well, let's have something from Song of Solomon because it's the romantic
it's the
book.
Nasty
and
one.
It, exactly. And both religions share it. So we had our moms
yeah,
like a say a prayer from that. Yeah. And yeah,
that's lovely.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I think you could say, too, it's a nod to your tradition. Of growing up, if anything.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like it's a nod to your tradition in the way that like action movie heroes say goodbye to each other at the end of the movie. Like in Mad Max when Furiosa just goes to Max where it's like, we're not going to see each other again. And it's just like a respectful.
Just a little. I remember being like, I don't want to do the chair thing. I'm not comfortable with that. And he was like, well, yeah, you don't have a choice in that. We're going to be dancing and just trust me, a chair will be underneath your ass at some point. And that's exactly what happened. It was great.
Yeah.
My favorite wedding
like
picture.
The most fun part. I can't
it's
believe
so
you ever
fun.
Inject to that.
I don't know what was wrong with me. Maybe I felt like, oh, that's a Jewish thing.
Someone
I can't
see
do that.
Your skirt on accident or something.
Yeah. I was wearing a mini skirt, so no, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No.
If I don't marry a Jewish person, I still will do chair stuff. And I may hire a consultant to make sure that it's not sure. appropriative, but I'll do it. I have no qualms about it.
It was so cool to hear people, especially, you know, my side, especially being like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's cool. You know, we smashed the glass. You know, yeah. We had several of both sides that, you know, it was nice.
That's really cool.
That's lovely.
Yeah. It's so married, sweet that, so. Like, love transitioned a smooth way out of your beliefs, you know, that weren't working for you.
Yeah. And I fully recognize it could have gone a different way and it could have caused more problems. Luckily, we both just met each other at the right time and have really grown even closer in our beliefs together. And all these years later, it's like we're much more on the same page of that stuff than we ever were. And I think for the better for all of humanity. So,
yeah.
I love that. Well, thanks for sharing your story, Monique.
Yeah,
that was lovely.
Yeah. Story.
That was so nice.
But it's a memory. I'm going to have to drink some wine after this.
Yes.
Some remembrance wine. Some coolers. Wine.
Drink this and remember so no one. All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll be right back with more Good Christian Fun. Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. Now, I do want to ask what, before we get into just like whatever your general exposure to Christian pop culture was, you sang and played saxophone.
I did.
In a worship band. So saxophone.
And I danced.
And you danced. Oh, while doing those things, like dancing with the saxophone?
No,
like
but we did have a dance worship team as well. Like that was sort of modern dance meets ballet that was maybe choreographed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We always had crushes on those girls growing up.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah. And then that is separate from being a part of the worship team, which I don't know why it was called a team. It's more like a band. Mm-hmm. I went to cool churches, like the kind that you technically could wear jeans. You probably wouldn't if you were on the worship team, but you could. Cool. That's how you knew we were cool. So that's why saxophone worked.
But yeah, was it like, was it just like arrangement wise? I'm so curious if it was just like, was it like, all right, go Monique. It's just like, like Rob Lowe and St. Elmo's Fire.
I mean,
like, what did it look like?
Sometimes if the Holy Spirit hit me, right? Sure.
Oh,
I feel like it's so funny. My husband's laughing because he's only heard me play saxophone twice. Once I did it for like a comedy show, but the first time he heard me, we were at a music store for some reason, probably like in a small town where you got nothing to do anyways. And I saw the saxophone and I was like, I played from fifth grade until I was, you know, 18, 19 years old. Can I, do you have a reed? Can I play it? Man, I butchered that thing. Like, I did not have... It was, so when I say, I played the saxophone, he's always like, no, she didn't.
Babe,
she did not.
Listen to this.
That's what you call it?
You ready to fall in love all over again?
We're going to want to do a recommitment ceremony after this. A little number I call Monique's Town.
So, yeah, I feel like my memory of playing saxophone feels very elementary, like G, A, B, but I don't think it was. I think I had actual sheet music and would play along, and then occasionally I'd get my own little solo, and,
yeah, you
and then I would
ripped.
Sing. And,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole point of a saxophone. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's an unusual one, I'll say. But were there other like horn instruments in the band, or was it just the saxophone? No,
I feel like I remember a pretty butch looking woman that played the flute.
Okay.
Oh, we love our butch flautist. We love.
Yes. We had every once in a while a horn section at the church that we went to sometimes, but it wasn't like. It wasn't an everyday experience. That was like special.
There was electric guitar and a drum set for sure.
Yeah.
That was so always great. There.
My husband was a worship pastor for a couple years. And yeah, one of the kids that volunteered to play with them was going to school for saxophone. Like he was like destined. He was like so wanted to be a jazz saxophonist.
I feel a twist coming.
He was really good. He was really, really good.
Okay.
But he did play on Easter service, and he did like stand on this little like platform in front of the band and just wailed the entire time, like the whole time. He never like went down for the singing a little bit or like tried to blend in with what the band was playing. He just like went to freaking town on that saxophone.
Full volume, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just oh like, yeah.
Sun comes up.
And like Nathan, I think, was trying to like catch his eye to tell him to like chill it down a little bit, but he was so far in front of him and he was just like feeling himself. And I was dying. It was the best day.
I've never heard this story. That's unbelievable.
You haven't? How recent was that? How recent
this was
that?
Like, maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Yeah,
I'm sure it's more than. It was probably more than that. It's probably at least three.
No,
really?
Yeah.
I think I know your life a little better than you, Caroline. Are you sure?
Okay.
And then
it was delightful.
And then, other than that, with the worship band stuff, and other than the Winans, which we're about to talk about, what was like? Did you have favorite like Christian bands growing up, or like favorite music or Christian pop culture that you were super into?
Yes, I mean, my taste in music is my father's taste in music, basically.
Which is what?
Which is, well, the Winans, and he's very in like my favorite artist now. This is not a Christian one. This is just separately with. Unabashed love, no irony whatsoever, is Lionel Richie.
Ooh.
Okay.
I will play him any day, anytime. I've been to his concert twice. I hear they're doing a Broadway musical, and I have to find a way to write on it or do something with it or something, because my God. So he's very into like R&B and soul and Earth, Wind, and Fire. And so the Winans very much fits in for that. Mm-hmm. I think personally, I mean, I listened to DC Talk, of course.
Hell yeah.
As I got older, it was more
speaking
like DC
of cruises.
Talk. Jars
of Clay. Oh, yeah, the Jesus Freak. Yes, Jars of Clay.
Yep.
Jars of Clay's great.
Amy Grant, of course. But I feel like that's, again, you probably would have heard that on like Delilah, because she's she's a crossover for sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think my first concert, if I'm remembering correctly, was a Carmen concert.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know. He got in there early.
Yeah.
I will, by the way, Caroline, I don't know if you saw, we got this DM on Instagram today from a listener. I won't dox who they are, but they said, my cable guy showed up today and he was wearing a Carmen t-shirt. Which I find to be like a delightful detail. It would be, yeah, that specific.
I want to know if it's new and he recently purchased it, or if it's like he's had it all these years. Because either
I hope he found it at a thrift shop and got confused and thought it was Polly Walnuts from The Sopranos. I hope that's what happened.
Or he's like, yeah, I like cars too.
I'm a car man.
I'm a car man.
I am a car man. Yeah, I've just seen by this shirt.
I'm looking up car man to see if like he's even selling merch right now that I could buy. Just curious.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. I'm sure if there's money to be made, you know, Carmen's
he'll
there.
Find his way.
He's got to be.
Carmen always finds a way.
He's got to be.
He's selling DVDs, CDs, and T-shirts.
How old were you for your first concert, Monique? Like, when did you see Carmen? At what age?
I remember. I honestly don't remember how old I was. Maybe 12 or something. Probably. That sounds. It was at a big. No, it was at like an arena. It was a big one. It was a big. And then also, do you remember the Goads?
The Goads.
Yeah, they were like I feel like if I'm remembering correctly, like the white version of the Winans. And my cousins were into them, so I saw them a few times.
Oh, you know,
they were
what?
Also like Amway people. So
we have confirmation on the Goads here. Let's take a look right here. Here are the Goads.
Yikes!
The Goads.
There they are. The so Goads.
I think I explained them pretty properly, right?
Oh my gosh,
Caroline, we have to take this picture.
Wow, so I saw them in
concert. I saw the Goads in concert.
The white version of the Winans. That's not what you want to hear.
This is like the white version of white people. Like I don't really think these people could be whiter. It's like it's hurting. Ah.
It looks like Joel Osteen's family for sure.
Oh yeah. Sure, and it's one of those things. It's so, you know, you don't want to judge books by their cover, but there is something hateful about certain kinds of white people's aesthetics, okay. Just
that
natively.
One I'm kind of into.
I do like this one for
this
sure.
Yeah, this good. Is an album cover awesome. We're looking at. Keep your eyes on the prize. All the men have perms, I guess. And
yeah.
The woman's hair
I
is
like
pretty
the graphic
blown out.
Design there, yeah. Too.
Wonderful. That looks like I literally right in front of me under my desk here, I have on one side a Lionel Richie album, on the other side a Hall & Oates album. and it's got that same feel as those two. So.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. But I also remember listening to the. Do you remember like the what were the End Times books called?
Left Behind.
The Kurt Camp.
Left Behind.
I read all the Left Behind books. Mm-hmm.
So traumatic.
You were ready.
Those all. Oh my God.
It is weird though now, especially being married into a Jewish family who's they're very liberal too, and wonderful like activists and just an amazing family. I think it's just the stuff that the right really believes in and this, you know, the people that are kind of in this Trump cult and are talk about him being from God. I know that to some they're like they're idiots or they seem crazy. And I agree. But I also understand where they're coming from and can understand why they believe that. And I knew for a fact when I saw someone post like, well, I know if there's a vaccine for COVID, I'm definitely not taking it. I'm like, of course you aren't, because you think that's
Mark of the Beast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I truly believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's I wonder, I've never thought about that with Left Behind specifically, how direct of a line there probably is with like COVID-19 truthers and anti-vaxxers of like, yeah, of course I love Israel and here's why, you know, and all this stuff.
Yeah. There's something about plagues in there too that I feel like is really connected to what's going on in End Times, which is why, like, to some extent, like, yeah, they're just going to let things be destroyed because that's part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. That's part of the end times.
I don't know if you read the reprinting of it, but for all of the mentions of the Antichrist Nikolai in the books, they just put Barack Hussein Obama.
That's right. That
and
is
Hillary.
Right.
Hillary. Yeah, Brock's that was the 2016.
It's still Hillary.
It was the 2016 version of it. The 2020 version of it is Bill Gates.
Yes, which is so
George
weird.
Soros.
The Bill Gates thing is incredible to me. I think it's
the night Obama got elected. I remember a Facebook friend posting, well, now we know what it's like when the Antichrist is elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah, that's a great take.
It was like
it's
that.
Legit.
Yeah, it really does fit right in there. I don't know if this is true, but it just feels like it because I lived through this time. But it does feel like the Left Behind series was what really like codified for everyone what the end times were or like how it was. Like, I just know it wasn't a super prevalent belief before all the Left Behind stuff got really big, that like everyone would be raptured and it would be a nightmare and it'd be 7 years of horror, yeah. Basically.
Even in Christian orthodoxy, it wasn't a popular belief. It was like a made
up. It's super new.
Dispensationalist,
yeah.
Like it's basically a Reddit fanfic thread that got.
I was going to say, it's what good storytelling does, is it really, yeah, paints a picture and then you feel like you lived it. They're good, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes it seem like it's ancient, you know, like these are the beliefs that have been around for so long and like this is how we talk and we'll just use the medium of movies to tell the story, yeah, you know, like it's, yep, but it was so new.
And it's like one of those things, anytime you're messing with like, oh, it's in the Bible or something, it's like when you see a historical drama, a television show or movie, because most of us, myself included, are pretty lazy with how we experience history, that whatever you see does become in your head absolutely what happened. So if someone asked you, like, how did Queen come about? It was, they were just in a van. Like, I saw it in Bohemian Rhapsody, this documentary.
Freddie Mercury had an amazing outfit.
And he said, I like to play with you. Can I play with you? God. Woo! I mean, friends, I believe that's on HBO Max. Watch it. Have a laugh. What a fun time. Man. But the wine ends. No laughs to be found here. We listened to, actually, that's not true. There's a few laughs. You said you sang some wine end songs in church. And so we picked just like a general greatest hits to go through, the wine end's gospel legacy, with such songs as Jesus, The Question Is, Trust in God, Restoration, For We May Never Know, and maybe one of my favorites, Bring Back the Days of Yay and Nay.
That one, I completely forgot about it until re-listening to it. My God.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
So tell us, Monique, about like the songs that you would songs you would sing in the youth group or just in the church,
no,
or just at home?
We didn't necessarily sing these at church. I think we sang a lot more probably songs that you know, Our God is an awesome God, He reigns.
He is,
you know,
yeah.
He does, from, yes, heaven above.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fourth wisdom.
This was probably more just like what was always around me, like in the car with my parents. It puts me back in my dad's work van when I heard the wine. And even listening to it now, I was kind of nervous that I would feel triggered and I would feel.
Oh, no. And that's like always the fear in like coming on the show, truly, for,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, truly. But I think the connection, as much as anything else, is connected to my dad, which, you know, I'm real close to him.
That's
so, yeah, that. But he also was on the worship team. He plays drums, but not like a drum set. He plays like bongos. And half the time he was making his own drum sets out of weird. He's like a construction worker. He hangs drapes and blinds. He makes costumes. He's just a really weird, cool guy that, cool, can make anything.
Yeah.
So he was on the worship team too. And so, yeah, hearing this is like, I just can picture him or our, maybe occasionally like our, house group on Wednesday nights would maybe sing it, or it would just be playing in the background after a party or that kind of thing. So, mm-hmm, yeah. Did not go to any concerts of the Winans. And unfortunately, my dad did not either, because the one time they went, they spent like $100 on tickets. My parents had no money. And it was about $100 for them to go. And they went to this big, huge church. My dad was like, I was the only Hispanic guy there. Your mom was the only white lady there. They were dressed, you know, like in jeans and kind of nice. But everyone else, he was like, they were in feather hats and,
oh my goodness,
in fur coats. And they were dressed to the nines. And the Winans never showed
what?
Up.
What?
Yep.
They just
unbelievable.
They pulled a Kings of Leon or whatever, where they're just like,
I
no, not tonight.
It.
Oh my God.
I just learned this story yesterday. And he was like, yeah, I was like, have we ever been to, and he called me. He's like, yeah, it was really sad. They didn't show up.
That is so upsetting.
He said that they had openers and different choirs and groups coming in, because it was this big church. And then an hour went by and an hour and a half went by. And finally the pastor comes out and he was like, their plane is delayed, but they're coming. They're on their way. And 3 hours later, they finally came and admitted that they were not coming. The entire audience got pissed and started like, we want our money back. And the pastor kept being like, oh, brothers and sisters, let's be loving. We can't give everybody their money back. And it became like this thing.
Oh my gosh.
And like, that started the wine inch riots of 1993.
That is so crazy.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised too, because they're like, they're the wine ins. Like, they're so, they're this professional family machine of musicians. Like, to not show up to a concert, like, I'd expect Rihanna to do that.
I know. Well, my dad says that he blames it on the church. He thinks maybe the church didn't get an official, like, they didn't have a contract, or maybe they just overreached and went, well, we'll just, and then our friends, the Winans, will combine. It didn't quite work out. So he put the blame on the church, not the Winans.
I wonder if the church just, like, announced the Winans and thought they would show up.
They have to show up.
It would look bad if they didn't.
right?
Which we should do more.
We also have Coldplay. They're going to be here.
And by the way, our guest next week, we can announce for GCF, our guest next week is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She, you know.
Yeah, we are getting AOC, so we'll see. Her travels plans are crazy.
She loves Jackie Velasquez. It's great. She wants to talk about it.
If you need a three-hour opener, let me know, and I will
definitely will. Yeah, if you could do that.
And just like a quick little bit of background history for the listener. Yes, the Winans are basically the first family of gospel, is how some people would describe them. A good comp would maybe be the Jacksons, the Jackson 5, and how they all had like disparate different kinds of careers, which would then intersect at one point, by the way, because the Winans would sing backup on Man in the Mirror. How about that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's so every time we all listen to that song, which we all continue to do.
All I'm thinking about
is the Winans. So there's mom and dad, Dolores and David. And then they had 10 children, 9 of which would become gospel acts, including Angie, Bebe, Cece, Daniel, Debbie. And then the 4 adult sons themselves, Marvin, Carvin, Michael, and Ronald, baby, the quartet.
Carvin.
That is Carvin.
Marvin and Carvin.
I've heard of Carvel as a name, but Carvin. I love any Never name that of, is yep. a verb as well.
It's like they named Marvin and Schmarvin.
Or Kevin and...
They're not twins, are they? Because that seems like a twin
they are.
Name.
They are twin. Carvin and Marvin are twins.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense.
So get that one. That's the connection.
And BB and CeCe were big, right?
They were huge. Yeah. I told my dad I was doing this podcast. And he was like, no, you need to do BB and CeCe. No, you should do BB and CeCe. Those are the ones. And I was like, well, I kind of already picked a thing, Dad. So
sorry, Winans bros.
He's got a recommendation, FYI.
I know.
Monique's dad says, no thanks. Not good enough.
He's wounded by them from not showing up.
Yeah, for your dad, it's personal. I wouldn't trust him to be objective about
you're
it.
Right. BB and CeCe would never precious. Have done that, I'm sure.
No, they would have triple confirmed all the T's crossed.
They would have BBB and CCC.
That's
I'm
right.
still upset about your parents lost $100. Like, that's really bothering me.
That sucks.
No.
That sucks so bad.
You know how hard it is to go to a concert just generally? And for them to not show up? Good grief.
And when you don't, and when you have kids and
when
you don't,
parents,
have, or don't have money
like
anyway.
Day for them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No amount of choirs can make up for that.
And that's why Caroline and I have never canceled on any of our 3 live shows we've ever done for this podcast. We've never had a last minute.
Were the Winans parents, remind me of their names again.
Dolores and David.
Dolores and David. Were they famous in their own right too?
No.
Before the kids?
Not really. No. They just
weren't the Winans the 4 the main ones? They started it and then it became like now it's the Winans family. Now it's the Winans 2.0 or
phase 2.
Phase 2.
Yeah,
yes.
Really
they
literally called it that.
I knew it was when they're 1, I think eventually like rapped, did a little bit of Christian rap, kind of some of the younger generation.
Oh, that was controversial. The Winans did have rap on. I was reading about like one of the albums they put out in the early 90s. I think actually in 1990, there was a song with rap on it. And there was this interview with Contemporary Christian Music Magazine. And they were talking about like, isn't rap controversial? Like literally the genre of rap was like, isn't this an attack on family values? And they're like, no, not really. It's important for us to be conversant in this. And they said specifically, we are tired and don't know why young black men in this country keep getting shot and killed. And so we wanted to have music that explores that. And I don't know if they're saying
and they fixed that problem.
They did it in 1990. We've you know, it's been smooth sailing ever since.
Mm-hmm. Everyone took it seriously then. And so we were able to nip it in the bud.
It really helped.
Good
that's so
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, rap was when I was in like 3rd or 5th grade, we had the bigger school that I went to had a poster making contest for like the basketball team. And my poster won because it had a trophy that was all jeweled out and it said, can't touch this. And then the administrators took the prize away and I had to forfeit because I had used a rap lyric in my poster and I was
From Mr. Hammer. Come on.
I disqualified. And isn't he a pastor too?
Yeah, I think he was. He had a stint, I think.
Of ceremonies of church.
Pastor and commander. Monique, what are some of your favorite songs from this? They're the ones that were like particularly emotionally resonant for you to re-listen to.
I mean, the question is, as soon as that one came on, I was singing with it.
I could spend the whole episode talking about the question.
Listen to this intro. Cheers was filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Exactly.
Question is, will I ever leave you? The answer is no.
No, 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 no.
Oh.
No.
Just to be clear.
Question is, will I ever leave you? The answer is no.
No, 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 no,
no,
no, no, no, no.
Oh, I love the Lord, for he's so dear to me. And oh, he died that I might be free. I was asked this question years ago,
and the answer is still no.
Now the question is
still no.
A ringtone for people everywhere.
Can we hear one of the yeses?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And it's
I'll skip
it soon.
When Jesus return, I want you to know
soon,
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 soon.
All right, now Caroline did have an idea for a little game we could play.
I love games so much.
Specifically to get to know me a little bit better.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, so, yeah, do you want to describe the game, Caroline?
The question is. You and I could, the game is called The Question Is, and we're going to ask Kevin, you know, yes or no questions. And then Kevin is going to reply musically. We'll say it like that.
That's right.
Yes, so my first question for Kevin is, do you miss my cat, Scampi?
No, no, no.
Okay.
Oh, man. My question is, are you more of a dog person then?
Yeah.
Okay. My question is, have you moved those puppets off your couch yet?
Soon,
soon. Very soon.
Now, if you want, you can ask me three questions in a row.
This is my favorite. Oh, gosh. Caroline, please jump in if you've got three good ones here. Cause...
Will you be drinking this weekend? Are you texting anybody?
Ooh.
You know what I mean by that.
Okay.
And, have you ever gotten your inbox to zero?
Okay. Am I drinking? Dumb. Am I texting? Inbox zero. Will I do it?
No. And so
I'm keeping these.
So happy. happy.
I'm keeping this in the app, so for the rest of the run of our podcast, I can just...
I can't wait. I think every once in a while, I want to ask you something.
Yeah, that game needs to happen more often, please. That is so good.
So satisfying.
So fantastic.
Do you want to ask me about, like...
It's great.
Do you want me to ask about, like, international conflict?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will Israel and Palestine ever work it out?
Well, I don't know about Israel and Palestine, but here's what I can tell you about.
Look at the crisis in Iran. Russia's already invaded Afghanistan. It's falling in sand.
Is that about the apocalypse?
I don't know.
I think that was like just current events at that time, and it has remained current events. Like,
yeah, you know how back then gospel songs would just do, you know, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver and the third verse of like, here's what's going on.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
The world. You know, it's a thing all gospel songs did. I believe this might be their biggest hit, and there's a reason for that. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. It's so good.
One of their
It's like, it's based off that like kind of classic, I don't know what you'd call it, like saying
aphorism,
that pastors
maybe,
or yeah, aphorism people say of like, God always answers prayer. It's either yes, no, or soon, you know?
Yeah, or not yet.
Not yet.
Oh yeah, they didn't put not yet.
Yeah.
Be patient.
Oh, it's so I think one of the reasons I wasn't triggered is because it's so good. Like
it's
I could just listen to it. Yeah. And in fact, when I told my dad that I was doing this and heard the terrible, terrible story of the wine, and he was like, that's so weird. I just listened to them for the first time in years, like last week.
Whoa.
Wine and in the air. Welcome to wine and country. Mm-hmm. Come on.
No wine in allowed.
No, there's no wine in baseball because they're singers.
I love this song. I will be listening to it more. It's such a joy.
Oh, you could put that on a special playlist.
I know it's not supposed to be funny, but it really is. It's
so funny.
The harmonies are so perfect that you could sing with anyone, be off key, and it would still sound good.
I think that's right. Yes. I found this song and then one other song I found to be... Well, actually, no, there's two other songs I think. This is amazing. I can't believe they're using a song for it. Sometimes I think that about songs where it's like, why are you using a song to communicate this? Like, instead of like, just write a book or something, or like, you know, do children's literature or be a poet or something. And one of those songs was Everything You Touch is a Song, which is amazing in its own way. And how it breaks things down. It starts out with like disagreements about what a song is or what it should be. So it's like a round table of men like, I believe this about music. And it starts here.
I think that a song should be something more than a beautiful melody.
It's very Luther Vandross.
Truth and reality. I think that a song should be sung by a man.
My opinion.
By a man.
Who knows the meaning of
this is Carbon.
It should be sung by a man.
No, Carbon, not Carmen.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Carbon, yes.
Should be shared among friends.
What if they're like, shut up, Michael, no one asked you.
Moving on.
No.
It's not that song.
Tales of the good times.
Okay, now I want to get to kind of the...
Let's get to the good stuff.
The roll call that the song does.
The menagerie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That even the beast could...
Which is a, you know, cool little image.
Oh, you've touched a bird. And that's a song. That bird started to sing. You went in a jungle and you touched a lion. And that's a song. And oh, that lion started to roar.
Okay, yeah, you touched a bird.
I love the characters.
Bird's going chirp, chirp. Yeah, a lion. Okay, what
Carvin's
else?
Carvin's like, no, it's ding, 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 ding. No, it's ring-a-ding. They fought over.
Carvin's like, what about a bell? Can we do a bell yeah. next? And they're like,
there are three things animals. In nature that sound like music.
Birds.
Birds.
Lions and bells.
Bells.
The famous expression, birds and lions and bells.
They don't do anymore. Oh, my gosh. And I'm so glad you gravitated toward that, too, because I was just like, tweet-a-dee-dee-dee. I was like, ah! So fun.
God touched a lizard, and that's the song.
The song.
And the lizard goes, they struggle for like any other
God
animal
touched
noises.
A fox, and that's the song.
Yeah, what would a fox? What
is, goes?
Ding a ding. What does a fox say? If only there was a song
no,
for that.
Caroline, come on.
What?
Funny. Remember when that was what comedy was like Gangnam 9 years
style.
Ago? Oh my god.
Oh, that's a song.
God touched a Gangnam and that's a song.
That's a song.
Or he touched Psy, I guess.
I won't do it. I won't do it. Oh, it's so fun.
I love a childlike sense of logic of like he touched things and then they sang and like.
But I think it's great. It's such a lovely image that like there's music all around us.
That's a subset of Christian music. It's just like God making animals sing. That was a Bob Dylan song on his gospel album. That's a song on this
borderline
one.
Borderline nature worship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually Ooh. Pantheism, which we do know is a sin, and we do condemn mm-hmm. on the Good Christian Fun podcast.
I think so many Christians are like pantheists or like druids, probably, but they just have to be like, the creator made it. That's why I like waterfalls. And
oh,
trees
when
and
you
things.
See these kids just creaming themselves over the sunset.
A sunset.
Like,
yes.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, creator.
Okay, something occurred to me. A sunset is like a canvas. And the light is a brushstroke, and God is the artist.
God is the ultimate artist. Welcome to Mosaic Church.
Oh, shit.
I'm Erwin Don Draper McManus. The other one for me is, guys, what do we need to bring back? We need to bring back.
Oh, this one's so good.
The days of yay and nay.
Yay and nay.
We're in the age of wish and wash.
I remember when life was so simple.
Had to, he must have written this when his friend like didn't show up for a beer.
He wrote that when they didn't show up to that concert.
To their own concert.
They felt really guilty about it. They felt terrible.
Life was so simple.
You got paid up front or you didn't.
You always text me back.
Here we go.
The Christian life then that was so ambiguous.
I have no idea. I feel like in the 90s and early 2000s there was like a real issue with like moral ambiguity, you know?
Yeah, moral relativism was
moral relativism,
a pox,
thank you.
on yeah. our households.
At least okay. in my school it was like a big problem.
Yeah.
So this song was for you guys.
Yeah. Well, I think it was like it was targeting that feeling of like, well, you can't just say that I'm a Christian and that's good for me, you know, as long as I'm not hurting anybody and you're an atheist and that's good for you, you know, and that's morality.
You have to be a Christian to the extreme, man. God was an extreme God.
One way.
Yeah. Well, also, I think it intersects with like the integrity conversation that was so prevalent in the 90s that was so emphasized by Focus on the Family types and other sort of conservative organizations that so many of our families then raised us on, to then for the last 4 years being like, Guys, the president was just kidding. He didn't mean it. Integrity, schmegrity. Who cares? Like, the same people that are like, be a person of your word. It's so important that you be yay or nay. And it's like,
being a person of your word is so
absolutely
important.
Absolutely. It's so crazy to see what they are willing to go back on. I sure. Again, I know I need to get off off of Facebook. But the occasional times that I am on there, I post stuff and I know who I'm talking to. And it is very like, hey, Christians, here's a thing that the Bible said. Remember that? Like, maybe I can get one of them to think just a little bit differently to just a tiny question.
Monique, it sounds like you're a missionary and you've chosen your mission field. And it's
digital
Facebook.
Missionary.
God, the prophecies were true. You are a prophet.
The lyrics of this song continue to be, I remember when life was so simple. Parents were a light. Through them, we saw what was right. But it ain't like that anymore. I remember when life was so easy. Boys grew into men and little girls to women then. But it ain't like that anymore. Somewhere, we lost the score.
Ooh, the score.
Ooh, that's making me uncomfortable.
He would have problems in this day and age.
Yeah, which is like, that's a handshake meme with the All in the Family theme song where Archie Bunker, the noted misogynist and racist, says, girls were girls and men were men. Like, that's what the Winans are saying here is like, men grew up to be men. And girls into girls. And no other sort of... Yeah.
Nope.
So there's
it's all confusing.
A
it's
little
so
bit
confusing.
Of that going on. Yeah. I know this gender confusion that's gripped our nation. Everyone's just so confused. I'm definitely not the confused person. Yes.
I also wanted to play J-E-S-U-S.
I mean,
oh, come on.
You had
come
to.
Come on.
I knew that was coming no matter what.
I'm surprised Kevin didn't bring it up already.
Yep.
Well, I had to get to my favorites first.
This is good if you need a spelling class, too.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Or if you need to sign a card to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Like B-A-N-N-N-E-N. Yeah.
One more time, boys.
He could squeeze the word Jesus in a little longer, in my opinion. But
Jesus. They just sound like they're having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This seems like church camp a little
bit.
It's
so, like, bouncy. You know, it's like really light. I love it.
And you can learn it very quickly. Mm-hmm. Which is nice.
And something about that upper register in the chorus does just connote a good time. Because obviously these
really
men
does.
Have the range. They are pros. But for them to basically yell and go, Jake! Hey, that it's wonderful.
It's fun.
I find. Yeah, so that's
oh, and there's also a really good deep in there. In there.
Oh, sure.
Like,
my Lord. A spelling anthem. We love it. We love spelling the Lord's name correctly.
Fun. I like that one.
Yeah. G-O-D-J-E-S-U-S.
Very, as I said before, it's boys to men, but for Jesus.
Absolutely, yes. That's,
very
that's
yes.
the
that.
Correct comp.
I was just taking another look at the album cover, and I think it's so fun. Like, look at their little poses that they're all doing.
Mm-hmm.
They all look like they're laughing at each other or at themselves. Like, one guy's just doing this.
They definitely look like it's a brother pose. Like, it is a family portrait.
Yeah, like someone got a nogi right before this.
Yeah, they went to Sears. They took their portraits and hanging on the wall at home. And they were like, let's use that for the album.
Yeah, it works.
And isn't it wild that two of them are twins, but you don't know, like, which ones? Like, Carvin and Marvin are not identical twins, I believe. I believe they're fraternal.
Yeah. But then they're brothers, so they all kind of look alike.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. That's very funny. Carvin and Marvin.
I think, yeah, for rock or for like just general music group aesthetics, that might be a sensitive spot for me is the boys having a big good old time is like, it's great. Rather than like, you know, like the post-alt stuff or like the punk rock, like people being
standing
like, I'm pissed to be here and like, yeah, being separate. But everyone just being like, Hey, I love him.
We're happy to be here.
And we made music together.
Group hug.
You're going to listen to it right now.
Yeah. I know this is not about them, but if you ever look at the BB and CeCe albums, first of all, she's stunning. And she is gorgeous. But all of their pictures are, oh, look at that couple or siblings. It's very, it's close.
Oh my gosh. I always assumed that BB and CeCe were two women.
Oh.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
I shook
Caroline
to my core.
What does that look like to you?
Right?
Sister, brother, or a little bit more?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a tough
I mean,
one
and if you, about. Yeah, like look at that one. She's always, she, like I said, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem like very nice people. And their music was great. They had lots of crossovers, but.
I wonder if that's like a blessing or a curse to be with your brother instead of like a lover kind of situation. You know?
You mean professionally to be married to them?
Yeah, to do all that music together. Like I think their songs would be fun, but a brother.
Their songs were definitely couple-y. You don't do a lot of like friendship songs with somebody of the opposite sex.
Yeah. Although I wish there were more sibling love songs. That'd be cool.
Well,
not like ancestrally, just like
Caroline, you want to chase that thought down?
Nope,
really play it out?
No.
I mean, this doesn't sound like you ready to sing, brother. You know it, sister. This feels like I'm ready.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sing this with my sister, but I'm happy for those. Raise your hand if the first time you heard this song was in the Elephant Love Medley in Moulin Rouge. Okay, Caroline and I
thought
are both
it,
raising our hands.
Most of Moulin Rouge I thought were originals.
Wait, the Ewan McGregor song?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's okay.
Sure.
You know what? That's what musicals used to be. Musicals used to be a bunch of pop songs that they would repurpose and refashion. Singing in the Rain, there's barely any original songs in that. That's like...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bunch of like... Beautiful Girl, like that. Those were all standards before. And then it was just like an amalgam of that with some new stuff in the musical as well. But like, yeah, the jukebox musical knock is like ahistorical as a criticism, I think. And I want to talk about it for 25 more minutes. I'm very passionate about it. And that's why.
Yeah.
And so when people say to me, Kevin, I don't think Moulin Rouge is good. It's not any original music. I correct them and say...
No.
And when they
is
say...
Is there going to be a sequel soon?
Real soon.
Real soon. Oh, no.
Kevin, are you done talking? Are you pleased?
No.
Kevin, is this album great?
Yeah.
I had a great time with it. Yeah, do we want to talk about any songs before we give our final ratings to the music and to the album and what we think of these boys?
The only other song that like I remember is that Restoration song. Because I was playing through them. And that one I remember being... It's not as good as Question is, but I don't think anything is.
Yeah, I could tell Restoration was like, oh yeah, this is...
And he tells a Bible story in this too, which is nice.
It's biblical. Very good.
To me the job.
This is my prayer today, yeah.
Restore me
the job.
Restore to me the job.
It's fun to walk your dog to this song.
Restoration. You know what I mean?
It's like a perfect pace, you know?
Should I learn a roller skate routine to this song?
Oh my God, please.
Can you imagine if your dog turned up to you and was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
No.
The do-do-do-do-do's are like my favorite every time. I'm like, oh.
what would I know about his mercy if I ain't gotten out of grace?
I love how low the verses are. What would I know about his mercy? He's just talking to you.
Then restore back to my face.
All right. Well, I think maybe the time has come to rate the album. The way this works, Monique, is we give it a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or we give it a side thumb. That's neither. Holy Toast is a thumbs up. We send all those beautiful boys to heaven.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thumbs down, Holy Roast. We send them, unfortunately, to hell.
No.
And thumb sideways, that's purgatory. We send it to the space between, also known as the crisis in Iran.
Look at the crisis in Iran.
Look at the crisis in Iran.
Would you look at... Do you think you would, like, pay attention to news more if it was a guy being like... Look at how the cases are spiking in Florida.
Fraud is very rare. And mail-in ballots.
Voter suppression. Caroline, we'll start with you.
Okay. I love this album. It was very fun. The question is, though, is by far, like, my favorite. There is a lot of very, like... well, like what I'd call like the end of a Disney movie credit sounding songs, which to me always takes me back to like fast forward. But yeah, this was a delight. I really enjoyed it. It was so bouncy, so fun. And the arrangements were really interesting. There was a lot of like dynamic things, but you knew it was the same band and mm-hmm. it was just great. I really enjoyed it. Whining for the whinins.
I'm pining for whinins, baby.
I'm pining for whinin'.
It is very incredible. That's so inflected by our upbringing and our age, Caroline. Like, there was a period of, like, both Batman and Robin, the Joel Schumacher movie, the terrible movie starring George Clooney, and Space Jam end with an R. Kelly ballad that is, like, a slow tempo. Everyone remembers I Believe I Can Fly. Batman and Robin does end with a song called Gotham City. And it's just R. Kelly being like, Gotham City, a city of love. Like, it's like, what?
What?
That's for this movie? Anyway.
Nice.
We turn to Monique for her rating.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that I am a huge fan. But I think I'd say I'm even more of a fan because it didn't trigger me and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And it brought back positive memories. And I immediately could start singing it again because, like you said, it's really well done. They're really great musicians, and I hope they're all doing well and that they're all safe and wearing masks.
That's very
and
nice.
I gotta give it a thumbs up. Two thumbs up. Can I do two? I'm doing two.
Absolutely. Yeah. Two. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm doing
yeah,
two
yeah,
thumbs up.
I'll yeah, also yeah, give yeah. it a yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yes. Beautiful stuff. And I do like that we're finally getting more, a little bit more into like true gospel territory. Because like when we've reached it before, it's like Kirk Franklin, which is more like hip hop with gospel. But like,
yeah.
like quartet stuff is so or traditional, rather, in yeah. that sense. And I love exploring that. They held up. I like how they pronounce vineyard and the last song is vineyard. I thought that was delightful. It was great. Nothing to fault here. Would listen to again. The question is it 10 out of 10? But you can go to @ChristianFunPod and vote on it yourself. You give it a roast or a toast. A yeah, 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 or no, no, no. Get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers.
Gotta change that. I mean, when's the last time you thought about Elizabeth Warren in a meaningful way?
I got a text from the Democratic Party asking which... vice president candidate I liked best, and Warren was on there, and I was like, "Huh, oh yeah,
I know."
Every time they ask me, when Joe Biden asks me to donate money, I respond with, "Only if you pick a woman of color as your VP, then I'll send you $5 or whatever it is." I'm like, "I'm not giving you money until then," even though I wanted Elizabeth Warren to be president. But
and then Amy pops out of nowhere and say, "Did somebody say a woman of Kublar?" And then she throws staples into the audience. Staplers, ballers? Rather. Ballers?
Yells at her staff.
That's right. All right, now it's time To bring it down, Monique, you must be familiar with this. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles in here. We're entering into a more worshipful space. And we're not here to lift up ourselves or our social media handles, our projects, or what we're enjoying in the culture. We're here to lift them up. We're not here to promote lifting it up. It's so different. It's a world of difference. And we start with Caroline.
You can give me a yeah, yeah, yeah. All over social media at Caroline's Farts. And I thought this week, in honor of these Detroiters, the Winans, who are from Detroit, I'd lift up the show Detroiters again. I still rewatch it now. It's just one of the best shows. Like, it's just so pure and fun and very laugh worthy. Very good quarantine watch if you want something that's just fun and happy. So, highly recommend it.
Very joyful, that show. I love, wonderful, love, love that wonderful show. Wonderful. All right, we turn it to Monique.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Monique Madrid. And I have some projects coming out soon that one of them is with Hoo Ha Ha. Can't really talk about it yet, that whole thing.
More
but,
like
if you go to MoniqueMadrid.com, there's more information about that. Two Girls, One Pup. I'm sort of on a little bit of a break because I want the focus to be on Black Lives Matters right now. And it's a lot of effort to put in, so I'm not quite doing that. So go donate to Black Lives Matter. And I've been watching on PBS, there's a documentary called The Vote. And it's like two-part special, 4 hours long of the suffragists' journey to getting the women's vote. And wow, it is so good, and of course so much more complicated and heroic and racist at times than any of us were ever taught. And I'm going to rewatch that this weekend, and I recommend others do the same.
I'll have to check that out.
Is it more accurate than Mrs. America, though?
It's exactly the same.
Yeah,
it is
the same show. It's great. What a great lift up. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up the concept of going to a drive-in movie, if you can. What a fun, safe way to, experience life right now. That is still fun and funny.
It's a blast.
And interesting. Especially,
I thought you were anti-drive-in. I'm so surprised. I feel like I brought it up a month ago, and you're like, yeah, but it's not the same.
I mean, the same as what?
As, like, going to a theater and sitting with people. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a movie.
Yeah.
Yay. Anyway, I'm happy to hear it. That's great. Where'd you go to a drive-thru?
Mission Tiki. And ooh, it's great because you're not, like, you're with an audience, but the only way you can react is flashing lights and honking horns. So whether you're laughing, you're crying, you're scared, you do just get reduced down to, your reaction.
That was loud. Yeah, that's so funny.
It's so funny. So if something exciting is happening, or like you try to get a chorus of honks going, it's like being a dumb robot who doesn't know how to communicate his feelings.
Very fun.
It's great. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity continues to be Black Lives Matter. Monique, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Friend, what a fun way to get to know each other.
Thank you so much for the fellowship.
A quarantine meet cute. We love fellowship with you.
Fellowship, food, and fun. Every time. We love it. Thank you.
And there's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said, amen. Amen. And then let's, of course, go out on, the only question...
Oh, yes.
Is that an oboe? Or it might be like a soprano saxophone.
Clarinet?
It's not a saxophone. I was thinking clarinet, but it might be oboe. Also not on very many worship teams.
Beautiful.
Sensing.
Question is, will I ever leave you? The answer is no. No, no, no,
will the show be as good next week?
Is our audience growing?
No, no. Oh my God. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, buddy.
Question is,
is our audience growing?
Will
you just
I
bodied your own podcast. Good grief.
No, 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 no.
That was a HeadGum podcast.